Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. We are officially, what, like 5 days away from WWDC 2024. Hartley, are you excited for all of the iOS 18, macOS 15, all of the new betas to drop immediately after the event?
I am excited. I know it's your favorite Apple event of the year. I think it's also probably mine, because it's just a very different sort of Apple event. There is always so much to unpack, and with each beta, we get a little bit more information. And it's one of those events where I think to some extent after every Apple event, there's always new details that emerge in the following hours and following days. But WWDC is always so full. And of course, we've got the State of the Union, the platform State of the Union, and so many other sessions and so many other details. There's really so much. And of course, some years we have hardware, not expecting that this year. But it's always a great event.
So you don't? Do you think there's a little part that there might be like a surprise hardware this year, or are we like pretty sure 99% that it's nothing?
I think on balance there probably won't be. But that's just because it doesn't really make sense at the moment to introduce M4 Max. It's not quite the right time. When we just got the M3 MacBook Air, maybe there would be room for like an M4 Mac Mini, but we haven't heard any of these things rumored specifically. So
sure,
I think it's probably not going to happen this year.
No surprise, AirPods Max, after all of the Sonos Ace headphone reviews dropped, you don't think Apple's going to be like, whoa, wait, don't forget about our AirPods Max that you can buy now at a new price of $449.
I wish they would. I think that there definitely is a little list now of hardware that's starting to feel a little bit outdated, like the Mac Mini, the Mac Studio, the AirPods Max. But Apple sometimes takes its time with this. I mean, look at the new iPad Pros. The new iPad Pros are great devices, but they came, what, 19 months after the previous ones? So sometimes Apple really likes to keep us waiting.
Yeah.
And to be honest, there will be so much at this event that we don't really need more.
I think the reason why I do like this event is because, you know, in years, in events past, iPhone events specifically, any Mac of, or, you know, app, iPad, you have to wait a week to get, you know, the new stuff. And most people, you know, obviously don't grab things right away. Everybody who owns a device already is going to get this update at some point. And if you can't wait, you can get it the moment everything ends with a developer account, which I believe still costs about $100. And you can get that pretty easily. And so, yeah, you can start diving in, or you can wait for the public beta to drop, and you can do that and you can opt in and out. I love that change that they made where you can easily opt yourself out so that you don't have to like go back and reset. It used to be a nightmare in the day. So you can start testing things, and we're expecting a ton of new AI centric stuff. You know, none of us really know exactly what it's going to be, but we've heard rumors surrounding different apps and integrations, but we talked all about iOS 18 on the last episode. So in this episode, we're probably not going to talk as much iOS, and we're going to start with, what do you want to start with, macOS or visionOS?
What's the more intriguing one? I think macOS is a good place to start.
Okay, macOS 15. What do you think the name's going to be? Do you have an idea? Any guesses?
I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of options, right? And it's really a question of what Apple wants to go for. It's always a good part of the event because, of course, all of the other updates don't have a name, so it always adds a little bit of extra interest. So I don't know. I mean, there's a few options. They can go for macOS Redwood. macOS Mammoth has been rumored for years.
it's never happening at this point.
I don't know. I don't know if we've ever actually guessed that it's been right. So
Sequoia, Grizzly, Pacific, those are all, I think Grizzly sounds kind of cool. macOS Redwood would be fine. Mammoth would be cool. But again, I don't know. It's like the redesigned control. So, which, by the way, I know some of you wouldn't talk any iOS 18, but real quick, redesigned control center rumors are sparking back up, just like we talked about last week and for years.
But maybe this year's the year. Maybe this time we're actually going to get it.
So judging by the report, it kind of sounds like it wasn't like a major redesign, but like some things would be redesigned and moved around. So I don't know. But anyways.
As long as it's better on the iPad,
yeah, I'm happy. Oh, God. Right. It takes up the whole screen on the iPad, but it doesn't actually take up the whole screen on the iPad. It's like that weird thing where you get it in the corner.
It's just completely unnecessary.
It is the most invasive thing. That's like, I feel like that was the laziest. Like, we should probably put Control Center on the iPad. And someone was like, yeah, cool. I'll just port it over. And like did no other work. So it just behaves the exact same way.
I think it's actually emblematic of the whole kind of issue with iPadOS, where, of course, it is basically iOS.
Sure.
And the iPad is a big iPhone. And they really should make some changes. You really feel like that. I don't really know how it survived this long with that exact same experience, especially on the now the 13-inch size device. And we've got the iPad Air as well at that size. So there's an increasing number of devices in the world with that display size and this kind of ridiculous control center.
I had dinner the other night and there were some people there and they were talking about, like, someone was like, oh, I want to get an iPad mini. And the person literally went, why? Isn't it just a bigger iPhone? And I was like, that's a good way to put it. It is just a bigger iPhone. It really is. You could write on it. That's about it. But I mean, for Kindles, like, I think that person wanted to use it as like a book replacement kind of thing. But yeah, it's funny.
There's bigger definitely iPad. A place for the iPad mini.
Sure.
It's just a bit of a strange device in the lineup at the moment because it's kind of like an iPad Air, but not. You can't run Stage Manager on it. You can't even run Stage Manager with an external display, even though the hardware could definitely do that. And of course, it's too small to use a keyboard. And yet you get some other stuff like the True Tone Flash that isn't available on the iPad Air.
Yeah, just weird stuff.
Be interesting to see what there is later this year.
Yeah, anyways, macOS. I'm sorry. Let's get us back on track.
Okay. MacOS.
We just got to start with the AI stuff, right? I don't know what specific Mac features we're expecting. If you want to shed some light on that, I know we're expecting AI features throughout all the platforms. So I'm guessing the integrations that has to do with the music and photos and notes and messages and all of that, that's going to be kind of the same stuff that we're going to get on iOS and iPadOS, just on the Mac. What are you hearing in terms of like Mac specific stuff? Anything? This is always the hardest one to have like conversations about because we really do get so little information about leaks for macOS updates.
I don't know how much will be Mac specific. I think that at the very least, it will be almost all the features that come to iOS 18. What I think makes it a little bit more interesting is that if these are productivity focused tools, such as suggested replies to emails, chances are, at least for me, I don't tend to actually reply to emails on my iPhone. I like to sit down at my Mac and reply to emails. So if that is a feature that is available on the Mac, that is where I will use it. And if a lot of these things are productivity focused, like the new retouch tool in the Photos app, chances are I will actually do that from my Mac. Although many of these things will be introduced in iOS 18, I think the vast majority of my use cases will actually end up being on the Mac. And of course, it will look different and it will need to scale slightly differently. And I think the other thing that's worth mentioning is Siri, because Siri is on the Mac. I don't know when the last time was that you used Siri on the Mac.
Siri's on the Mac? Since when? That's a joke. And, everybody calm down. I know it's on the Mac. I just never use it.
I think I used it once when it came out, but I do actually use Siri on my other devices, but I don't think I have used it on my Mac for. I think I
wasn't
go like an entire.
Wasn't Siri an icon in the menu bar at one point? Has that been removed?
Yeah, you can turn it on and remove it. Mine's still up there. But this is actually one of the little Mac specific rumors. That's going to be a redesigned little icon up there. So it's going to go from being this colored waveform to being a 2D icon. That is there you go. There's a Mac specific rumor for you.
So cool. Okay, honestly though, we joke about Siri, but if Siri does get this massive update that we're expecting, this actually could be really good for the Mac if we can have it do things, you know, more advanced functionality and just being able to have like actual help with things on our, you know, Mac. documents, being able to find stuff easily. I don't know if it can, like, I don't know. Like, what would you want with Siri that we don't have? Because right now it's just kind of, like you said, it's kind of useless.
I want it to be able to automate tasks and follow instructions at a system level. So if I say to it, I want you to create a spreadsheet for me based on the content that's currently on my screen, it just does it. Or say I'm in the music app and I'm looking at a playlist. I want to be able to say, reorder this playlist in the order in which the songs were originally released. I think that is at the very least where it should be with the Mac, where it understands the context of what is on the display. And actually, the ChatGPT app for Mac, which is relatively new, can do this to some extent. But of course, you can't actually get it to reorder things the device itself. So if Apple could do that, that would be a significant improvement. I mean, even little things like if I'm in the calendar app and I can just instruct it to reorganize my day, so I can say, I'm running late today, shift everything half an hour later. And it can understand the context of all of those things and maybe which things can and can't move around. I think there's loads of room for it on the Mac. And it's a little bit different to how we really want Siri to improve on the iPhone, because how we want it to improve on the iPhone is very similar to how we want it to improve, say, on the HomePod. We want just better responses when we come to giving instructions about smart home devices. But on the Mac, it's productivity tasks. So that will be really interesting to see, because Siri on the Mac is really kind of useless, in my opinion, at the moment. I mean, I don't know. In fairness, I haven't used it for years. So maybe if I did use it to pull up files and stuff, maybe actually it's okay. But I don't really know.
I was going to say, I don't know that I've ever used it past when it was introduced. So I don't even know what it can do, to be quite honest with you. And it's just not interesting. Like, I just don't think that it can do much. Like, when have you ever seen a video on YouTube of like, here are the best tips that you can use Siri on the Mac? And like, no one does that, because I just don't think there's much that people would want to use it for. I mean, it's cool if you can pull up files and stuff, but I want to go deeper, like pull up those files and edit it down and maybe save it as a new draft. Like, being able to say these multi-step commands would be super useful. When you were telling me all of this, for some reason in my head, I'm just like, that's not going to happen. I don't know why. I just feel like
this year probably isn't going to be the year for it. I think they're going to start as they always start on the iPhone. So the Siri features we will get will be the same sort of improvements that are built into the iPhone. Maybe next year will be a year when Siri becomes a little bit more Mac specific. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Apple is also going to step it up on the Mac this year. I think to some extent, obviously, Siri on the Mac has to behave differently to the iPhone. So if it's coming across the board, then why not?
I was just going to say, it just seems it just seems way more advanced than what we already have, that it just seems so far-fetched for me to believe that, like, oh, I can tell it to look at my playlist and reorganize the playlist by, you know, random, you know, metadata that's involved. Like, I just don't, like, that should be something we can do. It just doesn't feel like you can. So that'll be cool if that actually does happen. I'd be pretty into that. I really want Mail to get a huge update across all devices, but I really want Mail to be more in line with like some of the third party apps, and it's getting there, but I still feel like it's missing something, and I don't know what it is. I just can't. Maybe it just needs a UI redesign a little bit. Maybe it just needs to be sleeker and like lighter. I feel like there's just a lot of things that I don't ever use, and buttons and things that could be removed. Maybe some more customization options.
Organization as well, I find to be a bit of an issue in the Mail app.
Yeah, like I don't know. I feel like Spark and, I don't know, that's really the kind of the highest bar. Spark Mail is kind of the highest one for third-party apps. Superhuman's kind of cool, but like, you know, there's a lot there that might be unnecessary, but I just think, some better organization, some better involvement with Siri or AI to like suggest things like, hey, respond back to this person and give them 3 to 5 different times that I'm free based on my calendar. Like, that would be cool. There's just got to be something there. Like templates. Do we have templates on Mail? I feel like that's not something we have. I know you can do it in like Gmail and Spark and stuff, but have like built-in email templates saved. I don't think you can do that in the Mail app.
I'm not sure.
In the stock Mail, I don't believe so. I know you can schedule things, but even that is just a little cumbersome and weird. So I feel like a redesign, making it a little bit more efficient, would be nice. What are you thinking in terms of some of the apps and feature updates that are going to be happening?
We are expecting the new calculator app that is coming to the iPad to come to the Mac.
The Mac already has a calculator app. Let's start with the iPad getting the calculator app.
But it's supposed to be significantly redesigned. So you'll get history, you'll get currency conversion, you'll get support for maths notation, and that will also integrate with the Notes app.
So are they making like a scientific calculator for your Mac and your iPad?
Yeah, and it will also
cool.
provide you with way more context. It will be more like a fully fledged productivity app, and then that links to Notes. So it's sort of merging a little bit with Notes with its functionality. So it will provide you with like a history tape. You can make the window as large as you like.
iPhone should have this, right? This iPhone will get this too, hopefully.
I imagine so, but of course, I think the way they're going to redesign it is it's going to be dependent on larger display area to be able to display all of these extra parts of the app. So that's why it will provide a slightly different experience. A little bit like how when they introduced the weather app on for the iPad, although the iPhone also got this new version, the better experience was on a larger display with all this extra data. So
yeah,
that's kind of what they're doing, I think, with the calculator app.
Did you
Notes is part of that as well.
Did you there's a age gap obviously between me and you, and did you use your iPhone calculator in school, or were you not allowed?
I don't think I did very often, no. Maybe occasionally.
Did you have like a real scientific calculator? Like,
yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay. So I wonder when that stops. Like, is that, like, do people, you know, I'm sure there's scientific calculator apps. I've never looked, but I'm sure there's.
Well, you can when you rotate it. You do, like, you do know that if you go to the calculator app.
I never go to the calculator app. If I do,
and
yeah, I know you get.
If you rotate it, then you,
I know you get
the
more
scientific
stuff.
Calculator.
Right, but there's more to the scientific calculator than the actual, like, you know,
right.
extra
yeah.
stuff that you need to complete those equations. But I'm just saying, dude, on my scientific calculator, you could play games, which was kind of cool, not going to lie. This was, you know. But when I was in school, the iPhone didn't exist, so we couldn't take our phones out and use calculators. So I'm just curious of, like, if that has changed in the world these days, if people just use their phones for calculators. I guess if we have younger listeners, let us know what you do. We're spending way too much time on the calculator app. I don't care. Let's move on to Safari. Safari supposed to get
yeah,
a bunch of stuff.
We're expecting a web eraser tool where you can kind of remove ads and remove segments of websites, and that will be remembered. We're going to get some tidy up to the way that shortcuts extensions are presented. And then there'll be this sort of new intelligent search tool that allows for web page summarization, bringing Safari a little bit more in line with some technologies coming out from competitors, which is really good. I mean, again, these are all cross-platform things, which really is going to be the case for a lot of what we get with macOS. I don't know how much is macOS specific. I think macOS is such a mature platform. There's not that much that needs to be done with it. But we are expecting that settings app, that controversial redesign, to be tweaked a little more and reconsidered this year. Should we move on to iPadOS?
I was going to say, I don't know if there's any more, you know, that we can expect. Hold on, real quick. The Notes app and the Messages app. I feel like we need more. I feel like we need a redesign somewhere. I feel like they could do so much more. Bring it up to the competitors for sure, at least with Notes. Messages, I don't know. Does Messages just underwhelm you? Because I feel like it's just very underwhelming on the Mac.
I feel like iMessage as a whole is a little bit of a missed opportunity because I love using it. It's my preferred messaging platform above all else, really clearly.
Yeah.
However, I find it a little bit disorganized. I don't like tap backs. I don't like the way that stickers are implemented. I find a lot of the organization a little bit unhelpful.
Just needs to be more efficient somewhere. Like, it just needs to be...
It's okay to take ideas from competitors would be my advice on that one.
And honestly, I hope the AI implementation and all this like better search and the ability to find, I hope that that translates to messages across all, because I feel like it's gotten way better and it's very good, but it could be even better. Like there are times where I'm looking for, you know, specific things in a message from many years ago. And the fact that I can kind of even come close to finding it is amazing. But then you're kind of like, man, I'm typing in that keyword of that person. I should be getting, and like you don't find it, but then you scroll for days and you'll find it. Like it's there. It's just, it's not always perfect. So I don't know. I feel like it just needs a little bit more to it. All right. iPadOS, you said you wanted to move on to?
Yes. So iPadOS is another one quite similar where we don't have much specific information about it. So again, we'll be getting that new calculator app and we'll be getting all those new AI features. But
go ahead.
Get the what? The journal app.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think we'll get the
journal
app?
Well, I hope so. I think the journal app is really strange because I don't know if you remember, but last year I was really excited for the journal app. I had really high hopes for it. And I think No, I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
I think it's actually a disastrous app that is completely unfinished and should not even have been released because it lacks really, really basic functionality like the ability to search. So if you put 1,000 entries in there, how are you ever going to find anything?
Yeah,
it's not a good app. And also, although it's uploading everything to the cloud, because if you have two iPhones, it will sync between those two iPhones. It isn't even available on your iPad or your Mac. So I write a journal entry every day. I'm one of those people. I actually do that in Obsidian because it saves everything to a plain text file. So I know it'll always be okay. Regardless of whatever app I want to use in the future. But the reason I like to journal on my Mac or my iPad is because I can use a full-size keyboard. I don't want to just use my iPhone. And actually mentioning that about plain text is another really important thing, which is why would I want to invest time every day into journaling if I have no way of exporting that? That is putting an awful lot of faith in iCloud. And what if one day Apple just decides that they don't want to make the journal app anymore? Then my thousands of entries are going to go nowhere. So you need to be able to export entries in the same way that really it's unforgivable that in the Notes app you can't export entries to anything other than a PDF. It needs to be across all devices. It needs search. It's a completely half-baked app. So it better come to the iPad this year. Otherwise, why did they even bother releasing it in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. It needs to come, or at least announce that it's coming so everybody can use it. I would love to know how many people are using the journal app and genuinely like it. Because I feel like day one's kind of got a grip on that market.
I think the only way you could use it is if you wrote very, very short entries.
Yeah.
You don't really look back through them and you just do it as sort of like a mindfulness exercise of just writing out a couple of lines each day and maybe you pin a song or a photo to that. And if you do that just for the activity of doing it rather than to actually look back through the entries, but you know, maybe there's about 5 people in the world that actually use that app. Because if you're the sort of person like I am that will journal, chances are you're quite protective about the amount of time you actually pour into doing that. So you want that to be a sensible investment. It is not a sensible investment with the journal app, which is such a shame.
I think if I was to actually use the journal app, I would be more of the second type of person you described who just uses it to like upload a photo and kind of remember what you did that day, type of deal, like 1 or 2 sentences. If you had a good day and you did something, you want to remember that, especially with pictures, then that would be the route that I would go. But then, since none of us use it, I don't even know if this is a feature, but can you get reminders like 1 year ago you did this? I mean, I guess it hasn't even been a year since the app's been out, but like,
but also I should just be able to go to a date picker like you can in every other journal app and think, I want to see what I was doing on the 27th of April.
Yeah.
And I just get the entry from that day. That's really basic.
But for like every year, that would be really cool. Like, here's what you did on the 27th of April every single year, and you can swipe through
the Photos app's really good at pulling up memories. So the Journal app should work hand-in-hand with that.
That's kind of what I was getting at. Like, if you could do something like that, that'd be really cool. Like, hey, on this day, you went to the zoo, and it was really cool. Here are your pictures, and here's what you said about it. I would like to. I would be interested in that. Would I use it? I don't know. But I get the reminder every night at 8 o'clock to journal. I never do it. I should. All right, we have the control center listed here. Realistically, what do you think the control center is going to look like on the iPad? Is it going to be the redesign that comes to, if it actually comes, is it going to be the one that comes to iOS 18?
Yes.
And nothing changed? Oh, that's so disheartening.
It really is a question of whether it takes up the whole display or not, because
that's what I'm
it takes
at.
You completely out of your content. I mean, there's who knows with that one? The iPad as a whole needs a little bit of work with software. I think that's something that everyone can agree on. Because while I don't want the iPad to just run macOS, which people differ in opinion on that in the Apple community, I'm someone that thinks it shouldn't. The one thing that everyone can agree on is that iPadOS needs to be able to scale better to pro workflows. And Stage Manager is part of that. It's clear that it is not where it needs to be, because the iPad's hardware now is so impressive. I mean, it's effectively flagship hardware now. We've got Apple's most powerful latest generation chip. We've got effectively its best display technology. We've got its thinnest design. We've got a lot of pro features like a Thunderbolt port, like the redesigned Magic Keyboard. All of these things are there, and yet executing your entire workflow as a professional singularly from an iPad is not something a lot of people can do, even those people that actually want to. So Stage Manager needs some improvements, and I don't think it's just about the windowing. It's about the whole way that there's so many menus and toggles and different ways of achieving things, in a way that on the Mac, I just go to the dock, I click what I want, it appears in the space, I get little traffic light circles in the top corner to manipulate that window, and it's really straightforward. And if I want to open a new window, then I can do Command N, it appears in the same space, it's easy. But on the iPad, it doesn't behave like that. And you've got those three dots, which brings up another submenu. You've got to toggle into Stage Manager. If you want to open multiple windows of the same app, you've got to swipe up and do these strange gestures. It's very demanding, and it slows you down. So that needs some work. And I think it may do, because if they've put this much work into the hardware, surely they know that they've now got to step up the software.
I had a dream the other night that... Yeah, this is a real dream. I had a dream the other night that Apple did a one more thing with iPadOS, and that it was they just dropped macOS, but it was like macOS Lite, like a light version. So like it wasn't the whole operating system, but some specific things would behave like macOS, and it was all the things that we wanted, and everybody was really happy. And then I woke
actually
up and realized
that wasn't the case. That something like that would be the easiest way to fix the iPad's problems. And I think that the way it should work, personally, if I was at Apple and I was involved in software design and I was trying to propose a plan to fix this, off the top of my head, what I would advise would be that we forget Stage Manager now, and we don't put macOS on the iPad. But what we do is basically copy the way that macOS windowing works, and that means that when your iPad is docked to the Magic Keyboard, you get a menu bar and you get the dock, and everything then works like macOS with windowing. And I think that would be a major step forward. And then also I think it's essential that you would have to bring over Finder as well.
Yeah.
And if they brought over Finder and they brought over that sort of windowing system with a menu bar, I think that iPadOS would be enormously better, and yet it would still retain a sort of it would still feel like an iPad. I don't think that you need the entirety of macOS to actually run on your iPad. I personally wouldn't even want that. But that doesn't mean that you can't learn from what macOS does well.
I think a menu bar, a real desktop, like when you're docked, if it switches from it being, you know, the home screen to a desktop, and then you can, you know, kind of have those two separated. And then if it can just port over, you know, like when you're in that docked area, like the apps behave like just throwing an app off the top of my head. Final Cut automatically turns into the Mac version of Final Cut when you're docked like that, and gives you the menu bar and all of those options, and it kind of behaves the same way. I would be fine with that. And then, you know, kind of when you take it out, you're kind of on your on-the-go mobile version. Or you can swap between the two if you really want to. I don't know. Sounds cool. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. I think there's room for it. I don't think we'll get that this year. I'm very interested to see what they do do.
No. It was a dream.
There's got to be something for it. There's got to be. After how significant this hardware was.
Sure. I mean, what do you think the real potential improvements to Stage Manager could even be besides what we're wishing for?
I think that the all of the gestures and the way that it behaves needs to improve and probably will to some extent. But ultimately, it's going to be minor improvements. But maybe it will be enough to for those people who really want to give the iPad a try, it provides you with a better experience. I mean, that really is the way that that's the story of iPadOS. Every year, iPadOS has got better. It has got easier every year in some way to use it as your main computer. So this year, the same will be true. But I expect a year from now, we will still be saying that we want it to go just a little bit further. And maybe eventually they will find their way with it. I think they will, ultimately. And I hope they never buckle and just put macOS on it. And one thing that may actually be the saving grace of this is VisionOS, because of course VisionOS is effectively iPadOS. So if they have to improve the way that these things behave on VisionOS, then theoretically the iPad should also get dragged up as well.
Speaking of VisionOS, let's jump right into that. We're expecting a lot of native app updates, which makes sense. I mean, this should be a pretty large update, honestly. I'm expecting lots of, and maybe not large in the sense of like major new features or design changes, but like just a lot of new things, a lot of fixed things. We should get native versions for apps like Books, Calendar, Home, because right now we have a lot of those apps in the like iPhone, iPad form. So not the best. So true native versions would be nice of all of the first party applications. Honestly, I'm really hoping that there's some sort of guest mode, like a true, or profiles. I know they don't do that on anything but like the Mac basically, but I think Apple needs to understand that not a lot of people are going to buy two of these right now. And so if you could please have profiles available, or at least a true guest mode to where I can set it up to be how I want them to have it, because it's really hard to talk through people, like to use it and get them through. You went through it. It's kind of difficult for us to be like, hey, you got to do this and you got to try that. Like, I think a true guest mode that like maybe gives them a 30-second introduction, walks them through it on what to do, what they should try, and then just like maybe brings up those apps and said, here, this is what we think you should try, and here's all the stuff that your friends are going to tell you to try. It's just right here for you, so that you're not going in to my emails and messages and like actual things that could be impacted by someone who doesn't know what they're doing accidentally going into it and maybe doing something that you don't want them to do. And then, you know, again, the true struggle that is trying to explain to people like, okay, do you see the little mountains icon in the top left corner? Okay, go ahead and tap that. No, not with your finger. No, it's a squeeze. It's always a squeeze. Like that conversation is brutal when you do it so often. So a true guest mode would be nice, or a better guest mode.
And also one that doesn't show all of your personal information to
right,
that user.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, I don't want them looking at my messages. I might not have anything in there, but it's just still not the point. I don't want you to be able to access that. It gives me anxiety, even though there's really nothing to worry about. It just gives me anxiety. Yeah. I don't know.
So I think that for me, VisionOS 2 really has to... the hardware's there now, but I think that a little bit like the iPad, it's time for VisionOS to really shine in terms of being this spatial computing device that it was sold as, where you can actually imagine entire workflows taking place in VisionOS, because it's undoubtedly great to maybe watch a movie, but do I feel like I want to reorganize my calendar in VisionOS at the moment? No.
Yeah.
It's those sorts of tasks that need to be looked at. You know, say I want to plan my journey for the next day with the Maps app and with Safari. These little experiences are the ones that now need to improve and actually need to feel better than they feel on an iPad. Otherwise, I'm just going to reach for my iPad. That's what I'd like to see. I mean, all of these little things should improve. If we look back maybe at the last time we experienced this, this was with WatchOS. WatchOS 2 was a huge upgrade over the original version of WatchOS, and far bigger than any subsequent update, maybe actually until last year with WatchOS 10.
And I mean, a lot of the things that we're expecting does make it a big upgrade, like the home screen. You can't do anything to the home screen. So giving us the ability to move apps around is huge. That's a huge change. That makes quality of life and using it a lot better. Because, you know, just like I said, when I'm trying to describe to people on how to use it and like where the apps are that I want them to try, it's like, okay, well, it's not on that screen, so you got to swipe. So then I got to teach people how to swipe. And then it's like, okay, nope, keep going. You got to, like, if everything was just reordered, so then it maybe if they're not going to give us that guest mode, at least I can lay things out the way I would think people, you know, like, hey, it's on the first page. It's right there. Go ahead, tap it, try it out. That's a huge update and just making it easier for us to do things when it kind of like maybe Apple thought it was going to be more intuitive and it's just like, it's not. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's plenty of things that they can do, and it should make it a pretty big update, honestly. Hopefully it doesn't kill it. Like, it's not like it's super easy to go back a version, so maybe they can make that a thing. Make it a little easier for me to go back a version and not have to spend $300 on a developer USB-C cable, basically, yeah, or adapter. I don't know. What else sticks out to you for VisionOS 2?
I don't know. There's not a huge amount to me. It's hard to explain. It's effectively that the whole system needs a little bit of iteration, which is understandable because it's a first generation device with a first generation operating system.
Yeah.
So there just needs to be that improvement across the board to really make it feel like. So when I come to making a decision about whether to buy a Vision Pro, which I think will be next month now, according to the latest information that we have, in other countries around the world.
Do you think that announcement happens on Monday?
I think probably it will, yes.
It has to.
I think it will. And that will be 6 months after it came out in the US. It's time now for it to come out in other countries around the world. But my point is, when it comes out, I'm going to have to make a decision about whether I actually want to get on board with Vision Pro. That really lives or dies by VisionOS, because as it stands, I've had a lot of time to think about my experience using it. Although that was only brief, it was only as long as the demo you'd get in an Apple store, effectively. And I have concluded that in its current state, I would not. I might buy it for a couple of weeks, but there's no way I'd keep it. So if VisionOS 2 can show me how the whole experience is going to be a little bit more frictionless, a little bit more useful and actually compelling in some ways that using my iPad and my Mac right now are not, then yeah, I think I will. And I'm completely open to that possibility. I really hope that VisionOS 2 convinces me. It wouldn't take much, to be honest.
Yeah. So I want to move on to tvOS 18. And I never thought I'd say those words, but I feel like there's an interesting discussion here, because I feel like tvOS 18, with all the AI stuff being talked about, I feel like this could be one of the shining improvements for Siri, where it could make life a lot easier at the home when you're watching TV. What do you think? Do you think we're going to get a lot of those integrations with Siri and AI and being able to, like, I don't know, throw out a broad spectrum of like, hey, show me movies from 1985 that are war related and have a rating of, you know, PG-13 with no scenes like this so that my kids can, like, just really direct prompts, but like kind of has like a large pool to pull all of that stuff from and show you and let you pick. Do you think we'd get something like that this year, or is that more of like the future?
I'd love it, but I don't know if we will, because tvOS basically hasn't had stage time for years.
Right. But this is the time to do it with all this AI stuff.
I think there's a great use case for it. Honestly, it probably won't get any stage time again.
Oh, man. All right. Well, maybe our discussion for tvOS 18 dies here. I don't know. I mean, all the other things that I'm looking at, FaceTime enhancements. Have you used FaceTime on your Apple TV? I know people do, actually, but that's not something I ever want to do. I'd rather just FaceTime on my phone or iPad. It's just right there. It's easier for me to do. I don't have to like find the dock and set it up. But yeah, I mean, like very specific things where people FaceTime with like large groups of people, the holidays, sure, that's fine. Continuity features, like what could we get there? Enhanced integration with the iPhone sports app. I guess that's cool for sports fans. The sports implementation across iOS, macOS, I don't even think you get a macOS notification, but like getting the notification, this is the one thing if they could fix it for me. I don't know if you watch a lot of sports, Hartley, but getting a notification that a game has started 15 minutes after the game has started is quite obnoxious. I think it's getting a little better on, you know, with live activities on your iPhone. Like I can follow a baseball game and be able to like see what's going on in semi real time. That's pretty cool. But I just feel like there's more to it that we can do with the TV app. And right now I'm getting notifications about a game has started and I'm watching the game. It's been on for 15 minutes and I'm getting that notification of like, you better go downstairs and get ready because the game's going to be on. It's like, what? You're way behind.
Yeah, I think that there is space for real-time information to improve massively and also for those continuity features, especially now we've got the sports app. The sports app, the news app, and the TV app really need to be able to work together seamlessly. Because if Apple can actually implement that, these things are going to become essentials for a lot of people. And particularly also with the news app, I think it would really drive a lot of interest in the news app. If you can jump straight into a game from the news app, maybe you can watch highlights as well. All of this stuff would be really useful.
Yeah, I mean, they need to copy what you have with a YouTube TV app for sports specifically. You literally can get like the highlights right there. You can say watch live or get caught up with highlights, and so it'll show you everything that's happened up until that point via highlights and like a news form, and it's really cool. Like that is something that should be baked in if we're going to start taking news sports seriously on Apple products in general, but specifically on the TV. You know, obviously I feel like there should be a redesign happening somewhere. But I'm still stuck on this, like I should be able to pick up the remote and say these things to Siri that it should bring everything up. Like I just saw recently the Fire TV got that same kind of update. Uses AI, Alexa can get all the details. You can show up obscure, ask it that basically what I just said earlier in my example, you can ask the same stuff and it'll show you all of those movies by specific directors and actors and like show me movies where these directors and actors have worked together. And like, I know you can do some of these things pretty closely, but not to that level of like intricate details and asking it and then getting that list relatively quickly. I don't know. I just feel like that's a lost opportunity. Maybe it'll happen in the future, but if it doesn't happen this year, that's disappointing in my eyes.
Hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I don't know how much attention tvOS will get this year, as I say, but I think that one of these years, if this year isn't it, maybe next year, I think that we will get like 20 minutes at an event dedicated to a complete redesign of tvOS. I think it's really a question of when, not if.
What about the potential syncing with Vision Pro for shared viewing experiences? That's kind of cool.
I think that would be really good and really important to, again, providing that not just the not making VisionOS feel a little bit less of a closed experience, but also for demos.
Would be really useful. I'd feel really ridiculous if I was like, hey, honey, you want to watch a movie? And we sit down on the couch and I put on my goggles. Goggles. I can't believe I said that. People call them goggles. I know that's what they're similar to, but when people are like, oh, the Apple goggles, if I put on the headset and completely isolate myself from her and watch the movie and then she has to watch it on the TV, it's a little, or like have your buddies come over to watch the game and you're like, I'm gonna put this on but you guys can watch it on the TV. I don't know, maybe people wouldn't care, who knows. We have HomePod listed here, but I mean
yeah,
Apple's not giving that stage time.
That's really Siri, which is going to be the same as iOS 18.
So maybe stage time through Siri and iOS, but it's not going to be anything crazy. I guess that brings us to what? WatchOS 11? This should be kind of a big upgrade, especially if we're expecting a big hardware upgrade come this year. Mm. I would imagine that some of those like features would hint towards what we're going to expect, but just kind of make things a little bit more redesigned for this year. What are you thinking?
I think so. It's hard to say with WatchOS this year because, of course, WatchOS 10 was such a big update last year. I don't think you can expect anything on that scale. And again, we're leaning on Siri and AI here. And the Apple Watch is an interesting place for Siri relative to other devices because you're not going to really interact that much with touch. So in effect, the Apple Watch is Apple's answer to something like, I say Apple's answer, of course, it's been around for much longer, but it is a different version of the experience maybe you get with like the AI pin or the experience you're supposed to get where you're using an assistant in that way with very limited visual information. You're mainly using voice, but it could be very useful if well executed, as maybe it isn't on the AI pin. So I would really like to see a little bit more about what these Apple Watch specific workflows are supposed to be like with this new version of Siri.
On the go tasks, like the enhanced. Yeah, I am curious about that. That was a weird rumor that we had.
I mean, one thing that I think would be really useful would be maps. So for me, I use maps, Apple Maps, a lot when I'm out and about and taking public transport. And so I always will get everything up on my iPhone, then lock my iPhone, and then I will refer to things on my Apple Watch, which is kind of ridiculous, really, because I should just be able to do that on my Apple Watch. So if Siri gets really good at understanding the parameters that I want to give it of, plan this journey at this time with these conditions and take me through it, that would actually be really useful to me. And of course, then there's the other improvements like message responses. So maybe the ability to have auto-generated replies to messages on the iPhone isn't really that useful when you've got the keyboard right there. But on the Apple Watch, that's huge.
Yeah, it's super useful, especially if those auto-generated responses are like adapting and learning to the way you speak and how you would respond to things. Because like the ones that we get now, if you ask a question, it's like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm in. It's like, I would never say that. I would not respond like that. So yeah, it needs to be, and we're kind of expecting that to be the case, right? That would be a very easy thing for this new AI and the models to learn.
I think that's a near certainty, those improvements to message responses. So those are things that really stand out to me with WatchOS. I'm not sure about what there is beyond that. We know that, the Apple Watch Series 4 will lose support. At least that's one thing that is rumored, which I think is a notable change because the Apple Watch Series 4 still holds up pretty well. That was the first redesigned Apple Watch. It's effectively the same design as the current Apple Watch SE. That was the first Apple Watch that introduced ECG. That was in, 2018 alongside the iPhone XS and XS Max. So it's not that old. And people obviously hold on to their Apple Watch way longer than they hold onto their iPhones. So there's going to be a lot of people this year that are not going to get that update and are going to feel like, but my Apple Watch Series 4 is still going strong. Right. So yeah, worth mentioning that as well.
My wife's on the watch, I think Apple Watch Series 6. And like, that's 3 years removed. And she would be fine if the battery wasn't, I think the battery's kind of tanking on that one. So yeah, I mean, you're right. People definitely keep them. They don't upgrade. They definitely don't upgrade yearly. I feel like it's common for like 3 to 4 years your Apple Watch is going to get that. And so, yeah, I mean, anything to make it more, I don't know, enhanced and just easier to use on the go, especially like you said with maps and things like that. Just, I would love it if it could just bring up like automatically suggest one thing that I could specifically, like I don't need a menu of things to tap through. If it's just like, hey, here's, you know, like you said with maps, you're headed home. Do you want to start directions with that? Here, we'll start it, and you don't have to look at your phone or do anything. Be able to suggest, you know, like you're on the way home. You usually listen to music at this time. Like, let's pull that up. Let's get that going. Like, that's the stuff that's useful for me, and that's the kind of suggestions and AI stuff that I would like to see. But I don't know.
I completely agree. I think, again, it all seems to come back to Siri and these sort of AI power suggestions. For me, something that would be really useful would be the ability to actually say something like suggest some restaurants within walking distance of me right now that usually aren't too busy at this time and meet these conditions. And you actually get good suggestions because although you can say things a little bit like that now, they're all over the place. You go to the places and they're shut and There's inaccurate information. But if I didn't have to get my iPhone out of my pocket to do that, I would absolutely just jump into that because it would let me stay a little bit more in the moment.
Also, how do we not have like location-based suggestions too, where it's like, okay, you're at the gym. I know that this is a gym based off of the data that I have. Here's the three workouts that you usually jump into at this time, at this location. I'm going to start one now. Like, would you, or like ask the question of like, would you like me to start traditional strength training, elliptical, treadmill? Like, just which one do you want? You're there. I know you're there. Let's do that. So I don't have to go fumbling around there. Like, I just feel like that's the kind of stuff that would just make it super useful for the average person who doesn't normally care about the updates and just wants their watch to continue to behave like the way it is. And then I feel like you get those features and you're like, oh, that would entice me to upgrade my watch that's probably not going to get the update because that sounds cool. I don't know what type of new workouts we're going to be getting, but do you have any info on that? Just as potential new workout types.
Not that I'm aware of. I think that every year we seem to get a few more. It's a little bit like we seem to get one new watch face a year. So maybe we'll get another new watch face this year.
Do you think we'll get more customization options?
I think we should. I think I really liked how when the Apple Watch was originally pitched, there was so much work and craftsmanship that went into those original watch faces, and it was so customizable. I feel that's been lost over the years a little bit. And I'm okay without there being third-party watch faces, which I know, again, is a little bit of that's a little bit more of an uncommon view on the Apple Watch. But I do think there should be far more customization. And that can be first-party customization. So I want to be able to determine the size of the numerals. I want to be able to determine their color. I want to be able to determine how large the complications are. And if you just want to have a default watch face, that's fine. But if I want to have more of a custom look, you provide me with loads of different Apple Watch bands and casing sizes and casing colors and finishes. So let me carry that through to the actual watch faces. And it's all very well providing you with 50 different watch faces, but they're all pretty much defaults that you can't customize that much. And I know you get a little bit of customization. You can change like the color of the whole watch face, but I really think it could go a lot further.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up and we're gonna play a quick game. And I know you don't know about this, so you're on the spot here. It's one word answers. I'm gonna try to make it yes or no, but like if it's not a one word answer, just try to keep the words minimal and as quick as possible.
Okay.
Don't think about it. Just gut instinct. Okay. Number one, do you think there's gonna be any hardware? Yes or no?
No.
Do you think Apple gives more than 5 minutes of stage time to RCS?
No.
Do you think there are major improvements to Stage Manager happening?
No.
Man. Will you install a beta day one?
No.
And if yes, which one? Okay, so I guess we can skip that one.
Yeah, I'm giving really boring answers here. I'm bringing the mood down
these
here, Dan.
These are good. These are good. Last but not least, do you think that we get all of those major home screen customization options that were rumored?
Yes.
Do you think it's as like free as Android?
No way.
All right. Cool. That's it. That's all I've got. The last thing I do want to ask you is what's your one more thing that you think will happen or that you want to happen? Or what is the one thing that you're really excited about?
I don't know about a one more thing because of course there's no Vision Pro or something like that that we're waiting for. There's no new Macs. I don't really know what that could be, but the thing I am most looking forward to, it's the obvious thing, which is to see just how far they go with these AI features. Just how powerful are they really going to be? Because they really need to be. And if they show off a new version of Siri and they market it as, I wouldn't do this personally, but if they marketed it as Siri 2 coming in early 2025, when it's going to be able to have all of these different abilities where it's uniquely useful on the Apple Watch, it's uniquely useful on the Mac, and suddenly now it's powering Stage Manager as well on the iPad, and in Vision OS it's creating these new sort of spatial experiences for you and setting up these different windows for you in Vision OS, and then of course on the iPhone, on the go, it's providing a little hybrid of all of these things. If it really is that good, then I am going to be very excited. I really hope that we're not going to say, I wish Apple went a little bit further.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, we'll end it there. Should we spoil? We won't spoil, but let's just say next week, there's a possibility the episode will come earlier than normal, just to kind of get the buzz of everything and stay on top of it. So it probably won't be out Friday, but maybe a day or two early, depending. But pop into the YouTube next week and maybe there'll be a little surprise. I don't know. But other than that, Hartley is intrigued. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know what the surprise is.
Just tune in next week.
Yeah. Tune in. Maybe you'll see something. Anyways, looking forward to it. Super excited. And of course, always want to hear from you guys. Comments, emails, social media. Hit us up and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.